Thank you, praise team. They're a blessing, aren't they? Grab my tablet out. We're going to be in the book of Ecclesiastes again today. Ecclesiastes 9. So hopefully you're finding that in your Bible or your scrolling in it and your app, or got the three ring binder. You know, I switched to the apps because I had the three ring binders with all my notes going, and that was a pain because, you know, you had one for every book, right? This is a lot easier. We're Ecclesiastes 9, 13 through 18 today. All right, once you found it, let's go ahead and stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. It's okay, you guys can get your exercise in. And if you can't stand up, that's okay. I also saw under the sun this example of wisdom that greatly impressed me. There was once a small city with only a few people in it. And a powerful king came against it, surrounded it, built huge siege works against it. Now there lived in that city a man, poor but wise, and he saved the city with his wisdom. But nobody remembered that poor man. So I said, wisdom is better than strength, but the poor man's wisdom is despised. His words are no longer heeded. The quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the sounds of the ruler of fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Let's pause for prayer before we go any further. Father God, Lord, we praise you today. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful blessings that you have given us in this time. Lord, I pray that our hearts and our mind hear your words, that we get rid of all the distractions, all those things that we could be focused on, places we put our energy on, our people, our places, things that may upset us, or we just put all our attention on you right now as we worship you, as we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, maybe seated. The Koheleth, he's telling a story here. Is it a real story or something he made up for this book? Don't know. Doesn't matter. Not the point. But he's telling us a story here. It's kind of like a fable. He says a small city. Now, in that same period, cities aren't like this where they're all open. Cities have walls around them to keep them safe. And so the small city is standing against the mighty king. That means all the farmers and all the people from the villages and little hamlets around this city would be flocking into the city to get away from the siege. As the army comes, they'd be going to the city to stay safe inside the walls. Can you imagine being inside those walls, all the people flooding in there, surrounding it? And this mighty king comes on, and he's got weapons of war. Make sure that you stay inside that city. And maybe even break down the city walls so he can get in the city and destroy it. We have stories around this time period where people have been inside sieges for months to the point that they result to eating each other because they have no food. Dying off. By the time they get into the city, some of these stories are horrific. By the time they get into the city, there's no one left to fight. Because the whole point is they want you to surrender. And so these cities, the small city, it stands no chance against the mighty king. But deliverance comes, and they're not overtaken by the siege. They are delivered. Not by a warrior. That's what we expect. A warrior to stand up, break the siege lines, get in the back, kill the king, run him off. not by the wealthy or the strategist that's made his name for himself, but from an unlikely source in this story. It's a poor man, but he's wise. He's overlooked. And there's a shock there, because that's not where we expect wisdom to come from in this situation. We expect it to come from different situations. In ancient society and in ours, poverty is often equated with insignificance. Poverty assumes that you just didn't know how to do right. You didn't have enough wisdom to handle your money right. You're a nothing just because you're poor. You have no power, no authority, no clout, overlooked. And this, but the story, it challenges that idea, right? It says a poor man who has no clout, has no power, has no fame, he's the one, he's just got wisdom, and that's enough to save the day. Which makes me wonder, how many often do we ignore the voices of wisdom because they don't come in the package we expect them? But he doesn't just stop there, right? He says, but I say that wisdom is better than might. Though the poor man's wisdom is despised, his words are not heard. There's an irony here. The man's wisdom, it works. It saves the city. Yay! But as soon as the danger is past, as soon as that invading king goes away, as soon as that city, that king, that man is forgotten, his name is forgotten, his words are not heard. They don't say, oh, you were wise in this situation. Let's raise you up to a position of authority. That way we can hear what you have to say in this situation or that situation. Obviously, you're smart enough. No, they just forget him. Because human praise is transient. It often shifts from one place to another. I mean, think about even your Instagram reels. You know, the reels are... Reels on Facebook. You know those videos you watch on Facebook all the time? Those are called Reels. Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. Some of you I know don't watch that stuff. You're on TV still, and that's awesome. Even those people, you know, the same things that you see on your Reels, those are not the same thing I see on my Reels. The algorithm, what you see on the internet is not the same thing I see on the internet. The algorithm is designed to give you what you're attracted to. And so we see phases, trends pop up over and over where this person's famous for a minute. And you're seeing them everywhere. And all kinds of people are starting to see them at all different on their different algorithms. And then it goes away. Because it's not famous. We're transient in the way we look towards each other. And we live in a world that's obsessed with the next big thing. But quiet wisdom, especially from someone who's not a celebrity, that's someone who's not, doesn't have clout, they get pushed aside. And people would rather follow strength and power and charisma than wisdom. And the Qualith here, he's observing that people despise what they desperately need. I mean, consider the story of Jesus, right? Wisdom incarnate, wisdom in flesh. And the crowds follow him while he's promoting. He's going around following, doing all these miracles. You read the Gospels? He's doing all these miracles, healing people, forgiving sins, and people are flocking to him. that is until. There's that word until, right? He starts challenging them. He starts saying things like, pick up your cross and follow me. Oh, but Jesus, I love the fact you're healing. I don't really like what you're saying. And so as soon as he starts, oh, they're following him until he starts, and then they start walking away. And at the cross, by the time he gets on the cross, only a few remain by his side. That's wisdom. What they desperately needed. This is Jesus who came to save us from the punishment of our sins. What they desperately needed, they despised. Of course, it makes me wonder sometimes if things got tough here and it wasn't easy to come to church. We didn't have comfortable pews. Wonderful air conditioning. Praise God for air conditioning. If you were in one of those countries where there was a gunman at your door, you would be arrested if you had a Bible. Would our churches abandon what they desperately need? Wisdom. Then we need wisdom, and wisdom only comes from God. But the words of the wise, Ecclesiastes, he continues on, he says, the words of the wise are heard in quiet, are better than the shouting rulers among fools. Wisdom is often quiet. But it's hard to hear if it's quiet, right? We hear all the fools. And there's more fools out there than ever before. Some of you doom scrolling for hours. Some of those guys are smart and have really good things to say. And then there's all the others. But it's hard. It's hard to hear. Wisdom speaks quietly. It doesn't demand attention. It's not showy, but it's better. It's more effective. It's more trustworthy than the shouts of the powerful foolish. But I tell you what, it's hard to get wisdom from a 15-second clip that takes your attention with a clever hook. It's hard. Wisdom. But we also see that wisdom is better than weapons of war. But, there's a but there, right? But one sinner destroys much good. Wisdom can be undone. Wisdom can be undone. One sinner, one foolish act, one moment of lapse can undo what wisdom has built. And that's sobering, isn't it? That's sobering. Wisdom, though powerful, mighty, is fragile in this fallen world. One moral failure, one reckless decision, one lapse in character, and it can tear down years of work. I mean, some of you have seen that. Some of you have done that. Some of you have been there. Where a single act of foolishness destroyed a family. Or a single act of foolishness destroyed a ministry. Or a reputation. Even a church. Some of you have been through that. So what do we do with that? One, we have to value wisdom. Now, I'm not saying make wisdom your God. It's not your God, but it can guide us. And we have to value it. We have to put it in high on our list of priorities. Let me give you an example, right? We'll talk about dieting. Because most the statistics are showing that most of you are on a diet right now. That's what statistics show. Maybe it's not true in this church, but statistics show most of you are on a diet right now. If you really valued that diet, if I really valued the diet, I'd stay off the chips, right? But because I still eat the chips, do I really value the diet? No, it's not putting, I'm not putting it, the goals in mind to reach that goal. I'm not keeping it valued. Well, the same thing we're talking about here. If we value wisdom, if we value God's wisdom, we're going to take the steps to put it in its proper place. And we're also going to do away, we're going to cut out all the things that are not in its place, that keep it from being valued, that are against that goal. So we have to pursue it. We have to listen for it. We have to practice it. Even if no one sees it, we have to practice it. Even if it doesn't trend. Parents, that means passing on truth, not pushing on truth, passing on truth with patience. Leaders, it means choosing what is right, even when it's not popular. Church, that means listening to God's word over the world's noise. And there's a lot of noise out there, isn't there? Oh, it's so hard to hear. Sometimes you hear all the noise on our TVs, on our phones, on our Instagram, on your radios. So you're like, I don't do any of that. I'm at the casino all day long. That's a healthy place. It's hard to hear over all that noise. That's why sometimes we've got to fast, right? The Bible talks about fasting from food. We can actually fast from other things. But the point isn't just like intermittent fasting like that's popular right now, so you lose a couple of pounds. Fasting, biblically, is that time that you would normally spend eating, watching TV, whatever you're fasting from, you're spending that time with God. It's not just time, well, I can add a little, you know, I'm going to skip my lunch today so I can add 15 minutes more of work. 15 more minutes on front of the TV. I can get a jump on the slot machine. And so I'm going to spend that time that I would normally spend cleaning and prepping and eating. I'm going to spend that time with God. In praise and worship, in supplication, and reading His word, prayer. Sometimes we need a break from the noise and fasting from all those things. Putting your phone down. I'm going to fast from my phone. I'm going to pick up my Bible. The time that I'm normally on my phone, I'm going to pick up my Bible instead. Time I'm normally on my TV, I'm going to pick up my Bible instead. Time I'm normally eating, I'm going to pick up my Bible instead. It's hard to hear over all that noise. And so we got to let wisdom be our guide. And we got to value it. Number two, we got to guard what wisdom built. We got to be mindful of how easy it is to undo good. Because it is easy to undo some good. That doesn't mean you're always going to get it right, but we've got to be mindful of it. We've got to be wise. We can't assume that past wisdom will guarantee future success. We got to be vigilant. Sin can unravel your home, even if you think it only hurts you. Sin can unravel the ministry, reputation, a life. So we have to guard our hearts, right? Guard our hearts. And listen. Listen for wisdom in the quiet places, which means we got to turn down the volume on the world. Open our Bibles. Listen to older saints. Pay attention to the Holy Spirit's guiding voice. But we got to test the spirits, right? Because not every spirit that's out there is of God. There's a lot of spirits that come and they say, oh, this is from Jesus. Is it? Tell you what, if it doesn't match up with the scriptures, it's not. Now, some of them are close. And they'll just enough twist the scriptures just enough to make you believe them. Look at that snake in Genesis chapter 3, right? Look what the woman said. You should not eat it or touch it. And the snake jumped on it. Well, you can go ahead and touch it. See, it doesn't hurt you. But don't eat it was the rule. Just twisted it just enough. Oh, you won't surely die. But they did die. They went into exile, which is a form of death. And then they lost their opportunity to have that fruit of life. Just twisted it just enough. That's what the spirits like to do. Oh, this is godly. You hear enough of those 15-second clips on your pick your poison, and you start to believe it. I remember in college, someone said, well, but in this song it says, it's like that song. If it's not a psalm, I don't want to hear that. But we hear those songs. They get in our ears. Those are sermons too. And the world is full of people pulling themselves up by the bootstraps, but the wise know that the beginning is being held up by grace. By grace. Now, as we listen to the story of the Ecclesiastes, there's an echo of something the author couldn't know, the Koheleth, he couldn't know. There's an echo of a story of a man with no reputation, a man despised, rejected, a man who quietly bore the weight of the world and the world's sin, and offered up salvation. That is Jesus Christ. And yet his wisdom, and it prevailed. He's the one that incarnates truth. He incarnates it. Not because the world recognized it, but because it was rooted in the will and the power of the Father. And that's the same God that's giving us wisdom today. And we can't put our hope on being remembered. We can't measure wisdom worth by how others respond to it. Instead, we seek wisdom because it comes from the Father. From God, the one who gives us wisdom, tells us what's tov and ra, what's good and bad, just like in the beginning. We're no good at making that decision. We messed it up. We reject, we listen to his character, even when it goes unnoticed. And so we have to ask ourselves today, are we pursuing wisdom even when it's quiet, even when it's uncelebrated? Are we guarding our hearts against foolishness that can tear down what wisdom can build? Are we willing to walk the path of the poor man even when the world forgets our name? Father God, right now I praise you. Lord, I pray that our hearts and our minds be lifted up to you. Lord, I know that we are no good.